This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. As always, if you're watching, you'll see them in a little bit different spot. We can explain that later, but we have no time to waste because we have one of our favorites on the line to start the show today. We'll get to our first and 10 here on, I guess, what we call a Misery Friday coming up next. But right now, let's bring in the man who not only called last night's game, but has called actually the last two Commanders games, one on TV, one on the radio. It's my pal, Ian Eagle. Ian, hello, sir. And I guess as I introduce you that way, I'm sorry for whatever mean things Commanders fans say to you as you've called their first two-game losing streak of the Dan Quinn era.
I get no credit for the Carolina win, so I recognize wins and losses are really not part of the equation with me. I just show up, and what happens, happens.
I think you told me that once as you were talking about how you have stayed sane as the 30-year play-by-play man for the New Jersey and now Brooklyn Nets, but we can have that conversation another time. When you look at the Commanders and really take the last two games in total, and you think of what you saw when you watched them preparing for these games versus what you saw, how much is some kind of, in your mind, regression or any other word you want to substitute there, really about them versus the quality of opponents that they have played?
I think more the latter. I do believe that in this league, week to week, you are judged. That's part of it. The game tape is on display for everyone to see. The results are what they are. You can't change them after the fact. And you are what your record says you are. But there's nuance to it. Based on your schedule, are you winning the games you're supposed to win? That's been the case for the most part for the Washington Commanders. And then when you have to step up in weight class, how do you handle yourself? Pittsburgh game, not just in it, in a position to win it against the Steelers. Obviously, we're talking about inches on the fourth down that was not to be based on the official's measurement. We're talking about a Johnny Newton jump on an old-school banana in the tailpipe from Russell Wilson and Mike Tomlin. Those are plays. That's tangible. You look back and say, if those plays went another way, the result might be different. Fast forward to a Thursday night on a short week, going on the road against Philadelphia, a hot team at the time, riding a five-game winning streak. And it comes down to a decision late. Not saying that if they kick the field goal, they win the game. Odds are, based on what we saw, and just based on feeling in the game, Craig, they were going to bust one open in the run game at some point. You sense that Saquon Barkley was going to take it, maybe all the way, which he did on two occasions. But circumstances change when you're playing from behind. If the field goal's good, you're up by one. Maybe the play selection changes for Kellen Moore and the Philadelphia Eagles. That's what makes football so great. That's why we break it down for hours upon hours upon hours, days upon days upon days. I don't think Commanders fans should walk away feeling as if the season is lost. It's not. There's been great improvement. Clearly, the culture has changed, all these things that you've talked about the last several weeks. But the proof is in the pudding. Two winnable games, and the team went 0-2 in those two games.
Ian Eagle, CBS Sports, and also Westwood One on the radio with us here on the Hoffman Show. Call it again, the Commanders-Steelers game for CBS this past week, Commanders-Eagles last night. And I'm curious also, Ian, specific to Jaden Daniels, is he hitting the rookie wall? Is it the opponents? Is it the rib injury?
Yeah.
When you think about the guy that you watched leading to you and Charles calling that Carolina game, where he ultimately actually suffers that injury, versus the guy that you've seen the last 2 weeks, how different is that guy, and do you have any theories as to why he is different?
Well, a couple things. Everything he had touched up until that point had basically turned to gold. He had the magic touch. He's got a very clear maturity about him. Doesn't make the same mistake twice. Limited the errors, as we saw with interceptions. And then when you start pressing, when you need something, that's when mistakes are often made. And that's what happened last night in the interception to Blankenship. It was just a bad throw. And he's had very few of those. His decision-making has been so good in going down early and chucking the ball at a receiver's feet if he's got nothing going on down the field, trying to avoid hits, although he's taken a few here and there. He took one last night, as you saw, high-low action, and those are the ones that you feel for days upon days after the game. I don't categorize it as regression. I categorize it as you're going through the league for the first time, and you're going against defensive coordinators, in this case, Vic Fangio, who has seen everything that you can see in the NFL. He's taken on every type of quarterback, every type of run game, every type of set of receivers and tight ends and offensive line. You name it, he's seen it. So you do have to give credit to the opponent. And in this case, I felt like Philadelphia had a really good game plan against Washington. I think there are going to be many, many highlights left for the rest of the season for Jaden Daniels, but there's still a clock when it comes to rookies that you have to go against. And the clock is reality. As a rookie, you've got to take some lumps and you've got to learn some lessons. He's avoided a whole lot of those in his rookie year, but it doesn't mean they're not going to come.
Ian Eagle with us here on the Hoffman Show. When you look at the Commanders' defense, that felt like a unit that really fought their faces off last night. Yep. And just couldn't get any support from the offense. But they also have, you know, kind of, I don't want to say collapse, that's too strong, but they've given up some stuff late in fourth quarters with frequency recently. As you talk to offensive players about this Commanders' defense over the last couple of weeks, what are they saying about the respect level they have for what they're building in Washington? And then, you know, where do you feel like the growth points are for them to be able to finish games, which is something that Dan, we know, yep, is preaching but is not quite getting yet?
Yeah, I think the respect level is much higher than you would have anticipated. It's not a big name defense. It's not littered with Pro Bowlers everywhere along it. There is a system in place that's working. I do think there's an effort level that Dan has asked for, that he's received from his players, and a buy-in. You've heard all about the brotherhood. I think that's a real thing. I do think there's been excellent bonding on this team, which means better collaboration. But at the end of the day, in the NFL, as we know, it's often big-time playmakers that can wreck a game. And defensively, that is the case. And eventually they're going to get those guys. They're going to compete with the likes of Pittsburgh for certain types of players that can come in and make a difference in the fourth quarter and make a game-changing play here and there. We are curious to see how it's all going to play out with Lattimore once he's healthy and how that changes things and shifts the roles in that secondary. Sain Ristill is getting praise from every which way because he deserves it. He's playing at such a high level, and there's a savviness about him that's apparent, and it was apparent last night. The reality, unfortunately, is that's an elite offensive line, and ultimately that offensive line in Philadelphia had its way with the Washington front. It played out the way that Philly envisioned it, and that is wear you out, wear you down. It's funny, it was really Gainwell who got it going, if you remember, on the back-to-back-to-back running plays. And then it softened for Barkley. They found a little something. They found a little spark, and then it really took off from there.
The playmakers, really, the lack thereof on the other side of the ball was so apparent last night as well, and Washington particularly struggled to get the ball to the wide receivers.
Yep.
What did you make of that as you and Ross were calling that game, and at what point did you just kind of look down at your stat sheet and go, wait, hold on, they have how many catches for wide receivers? Does that say zero?
Yeah, it was hard to believe at one point. Obviously, you key in on McLaurin, you key in on him as a broadcaster because the anticipation of him making a big play, and then you key in on him as a defensive coordinator and a secondary and a unit, which they did. They did an excellent job blanketing him. Quinion has been really impressive in his rookie season and the responsibility that they give him out of Toledo to get that kind of production consistently. Dejean has been very good. They tried to pick on him a few times. They got him on a penalty, but ultimately, he held up fairly well. I think with Washington, part of the process of development and evolution is going to be just that. The dynamic between Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin, maybe the reluctance of not wanting to force something to him, but ultimately he's the straw that's going to stir the drink. The fact that Robinson was back and a couple runs here and there, you saw the physical part and the violence in which he does his job. And obviously the Eckler was a big target. Based on the fact that the wide receivers were taken out of things, Eckler became a prime time weapon in the pass game. But I don't think that's going to be the Commanders at their best. It's still going to be the Daniels to McLaurin connection that's ultimately going to lead them to the playoffs or keep them out of the playoffs. Philly probably thinks they gave the rest of the league a blueprint on how to do it. But you also have to have the personnel to do it, and the Eagles do.
100%. And I think that's something we actually said out of the Pittsburgh game a lot down here was like, I mean, if you can repeat Pittsburgh's pattern, go ahead, but you don't have Pittsburgh's players. And the thing is,
correct,
Philly did it differently than Pittsburgh, but they got good players too. And so we'll see. Dallas got Micah Parsons. He's pretty good. We'll see what they can do in 10 days. But I think come out of this one thinking that is a football team that needs a rest. No rest for Ian Eagle. He's on his way to Madison Square Garden. He's calling basketball tonight, and then he'll be back on your TV on Sunday. Where are you at for the football this weekend?
I am, in fact, in Pittsburgh. So Baltimore-Pittsburgh for yet another chapter of Ravens-Steelers.
That is going to be a fun game we will all be watching. Ian, really appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you very much, and I'll talk to you down the line.
All right, Craig. I feel like your co-host. I opened the show. It's tremendous.
I could only be so lucky. Anytime you want. I mean, you have so much time on your hands.
Thanks, bud. Talk to you.
Ian. That's Ian Eagle with us here on the Hoffman Show to get us started. When we get back, it's the way we normally start our shows the day after a game. 10 observations, first and 10. We're going to run the hurry up before we take your calls at 4:30 here on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. And if, yes, those of you who are watching, I have not been relegated to a broom closet. I'm broadcasting live from our Odyssey stations in Richmond because I am running the Richmond Half Marathon tomorrow. My wife is running the full Richmond Marathon tomorrow. So I am down here in anticipation of running a very long way, but only half as far as she is. I got my dual water bottles here, one with electrolytes, one regular water. We got to make sure we finish those by the end of the show. In fact, I'll take a quick sip now as we get set up for how we normally start the show the day after a game. Thanks again to Ian Eagle for joining us. So we could get Ian at 4. We'll take Ian at 4. But now it's time to do this.
It's time to get the breakdown started. 1, 2, 3, 4. First up, 10 observations.
Stuck it and just boom, put it right on the ground.
It's first and 10.
Let's go ahead and hit that number one, Ant. Yeah, there we go. So first and foremost, something that needs to be said. The Eagles are a better football team. The Eagles are just simply better than the Commanders. And that's okay. That doesn't mean the Commanders are a bad football team. That means that the Eagles are one of the best teams in football. Since the bye, they are 6-0. They are very, 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 very much that team. And you see it in a litany of ways last night. And that's, again, I'm not going to say like, oh, it's okay that the Commanders weren't as good. That's not really what we're trying to say here. It's not about like, oh, it's okay to be not as good as your opponents. It's just we understand where they are in the process. And the Commanders have been kind of out over their skis from a talent perspective for a lot of the year. I think in the games that they have lost. And it's kind of shown up. You know, Tampa, there was a talent issue where they just didn't have guys to cover some of these receivers. For the Eagles last night, there's a bit of a talent issue on some of the stuff that we're going to talk about in the next nine things. And for the Baltimore game, same thing. Like, they just didn't have in man-on-man situations, the other team's men are better football players than this team's men. I don't know how many more teams left on their schedule are that's going to be a problem. There are certainly specific players like a Micah Parsons once you get to the Dallas game that is a problem. But like New Orleans, Tennessee, even Atlanta. Like Atlanta maybe on paper, but I don't know realistically if that is a better team. And I think that is the biggest takeaway from last night is like, man, the Eagles are really good. And I know that's not very fun to hear about your division rival, but that's the truth about last night.
Number two.
The next level of that analysis is when you have an inferior roster and you are operating the way the Commanders have this year, everything you do has to be schemed up. And oh my God, has Cliff Kingsbury been really good at scheming it up this year? And there have been long stretches of games where Joe Witt Jr. has also been that guy, right? Where he's just been on other teams. It feels like the coverage is really sticky. The pass rush is getting home. There's pressure. They're on the runs. And that's because they're on it. And then all of a sudden, they hit some skids where a guy makes a play. And I think that when you get to, you know, for instance, the third downs last night, we'll talk about more in a second. Like, guys are just making plays. Jalen Hurts just made a play. Saquon Barkley makes a play. A.J. Brown makes a play. And it's not this super fancy schematic, we've got a guy to spring open, or we created an unblocked pressure. It's just someone winning a one-on-one matchup. And that is, it's the best teams have both. The Chiefs are well-schemed, and they have great players. That's why they're back-to-back defending champions. The Eagles, I think, are a step below that. I don't think offensively they are particularly well schemed. They are certainly not particularly well detailed. They had a mesh concept last night where they had two dudes run into each other. And you're like, that just shouldn't happen. But if you're good enough to have your quarterback extend the play and then run out, that same play could have easily been a touchdown had Jalen looked up instead of just flicking the ball in the general direction of two wide open players that never had a chance. If he had looked up a half second sooner, he's going to loft a ball into the end zone. So that's sometimes the difference. And the inverse of that means when you are an inferiorly talented team, when you have an inferior roster to your opponent, and your details are not on every P and Q, which is where the Commanders' offense is right now, it looks like it did last night. This is a run game that was sensational earlier in the year. Every block hit exactly perfectly. They got guys pulling all over the place. Defenses are constantly confused. Every detail just seemed like it was accounted for. And I think fatigue is hitting this team hard. The fact that they have a week 14 bye, they've been going pretty much nonstop since training camp. And then they were on a short week. And I think some of those details get lost. Also, when you're injured, you are just not able to be as good. You know, you may have practiced it at speed X. Now you're speed X minus two. And that timing that you had earlier in the season, not quite there. There's a little bit more of a gap for your double team to be split or something like that. And so both the Eagles' talent just overwhelming the Commanders' scheme happened last night, and the lack of detail for Washington in areas that they've had it earlier in the year, combined with the inferior roster, led to the results in a major way.
Number three.
So the biggest decision of the game is definitely the fourth down decision by Dan Quinn. However, I think he made the right decision despite the loss. And it was funny because I got a text from one Anthony Haney, perhaps, last night. Anthony, you were not happy about that. You were not a happy camper at all.
I was angry, actually.
Do you still feel that way today?
Yes.
Okay, well, we're going to get into that coming up at 5:45 in more detail. But I think that the Commanders made the right decision there, because in my notes, which are over here, let me see if I can find this exactly where I wrote this down. As that game went on, I wrote, and the drive that was started at 2:27 in the second half, or in the third quarter. So this is the drive that crossed over the end of the third quarter into the fourth. Big letters. Defense is tired. Their offense gave them no support. And at that point in the game, I think Dan Quinn knew. One, the analytics and all that kind of stuff said your win probability was higher if you went for it. So they're a good fourth down team. They trust their execution in those spots. They're prepared for those spots. They wound up screwing up the execution in a major way. But from a decision standpoint, it's cemented as correct by the fact that if you don't get a just hold the ball longer, give your defense more rest. Nevertheless, if you don't score, you're not winning that game. And does it play out differently? Does the play calling change maybe if the Eagles are still down? Do they feel the pressure? Oh my God, are these missed kicks going to come back and screw us? Maybe, maybe. But chances are exactly what happened was probably what was going to happen. And that is that defense was tired. They had no more stops left in them. And all Philadelphia was going to do was jam it down their throat. And Washington's offense was going to have to win that game for them at some point. They had so many chances. The defense did such an outstanding job that I think Dan Quinn made the right decision there. I know it doesn't work out, and thus it is easier to yell that he was wrong. But all he was doing was making the decision in that moment versus having it be a slower, more painful death over the course of the next couple of minutes that it ultimately played out to be.
Number four.
I know we need to talk a lot more about Jaden Daniels, and this is going to be an interesting thing to discuss next week after I've had a chance to watch the tape. But the last, like, yesterday was the first day that Jaden Daniels really, really felt like a rookie in the NFL in a game. Pittsburgh, somewhat, but it also just looked like a lot of quarterbacks facing the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was definitely mystified by that zone match scheme that the Philadelphia Eagles run. And that makes sense because Vic Fangio is the godfather of that scheme. And since they put Cooper DeJean in the lineup, since they changed up some of what they're doing with Kenyon Mitchell, they have had time to just get more and more reps underneath them. That they are running that scheme as well as any Vic Fangio team ever has, and he's coordinated some of the best defenses in the last 20 years of the NFL. They are so sticky in coverage, and it is so hard for a rookie quarterback to understand what he's supposed to do with the football because it's this weird blend of zone and man. It's like, oh, it's quarters. Against quarters, this should be open. Nope, that guy's covered. Now what do I do? Ouch, Jalen Carter hit me. And there was a ton of that last night. There's a play where he's about to throw a slant, and all of a sudden the defensive end drops underneath it. And, like, he's got to pull the ball back down, and by then everything else is covered. The Eagles are so good on the back end, and you have to be so quick and so decisive, and it's so hard if you've never seen it, that preparing for that on a short week where you don't have your practice reps. There's even, I mean, the VR stuff is great for Jaden, but he's probably short a couple hundred reps on the VR just because there's not as many days. And so that, of all the teams to play in the NFL, that is one of the bottom five, one that I'd want to play probably period right now, but especially on a short week when you haven't done it before. And I think that we're going to look back on and say that was the bigger factor for Jaden's failings than anything else that we're going to talk about, including
number five.
Yes, unquestionably, Jaden Daniels has not been the same player since the rib injury. They have also played some of the toughest defenses in the NFL. Chicago at the time was in the midst of a streak where they had not given up over 20 points in like almost a year, like almost a calendar year. It's going back like 12, 13 games. All right, Carolina, obviously they smoked. That's the game he got hurt. Pittsburgh, or the Giants, like defensively, they do some nice things, but he looked pretty solid in that game. And then Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. Okay, yeah. He definitely is not throwing the ball as well as he did, as confidently as he did earlier in the year. But I have gotten emails, we've gotten YouTube comments, I've gotten social media correspondence. Do they need to bench him for Marcus until he's healthy? No. No, they don't. We don't need to play that game. I'm sure I'm going to get calls that say it. And I'll listen. I will be nice. This is an open forum for the exchange of ideas. That's what we do when we take calls. But I personally do not think that is remotely a conversation, because I think a lot of the stuff that is happening to him is because of the other team, not some limitation that he has. And to see him run last night again was great. Now, 10 days off, all that rib is going to do is get even better. I think we are past that point where that needs to be a discussion.
Number six.
That said, it'd be nice if the offensive line could protect him. Brandon Coleman, again last night, really struggled with some power rushes. We obviously saw him give up the sack on the speed rush to Nolan Smith. He has been largely very good this year. Last two games, not so much. So I don't know whether that shoulder is bothering him, whether teams have gotten some tape on it and figured some things out. He's a young player. He's a third-round pick. The idea that he was going to come in and be awesome, snap in, snap out as a rookie, is a pipe dream. So that is to say, I'm not out on Brandon Coleman. It is merely saying that in the moment, he's having some struggles, but so is everybody else on that line. Those dudes are banged up. They are hurt. They are not moving as well. They're not getting the push in the run game. They are not as solid in their pass protection. And that has also made Jaden Daniels' job really hard, because of course it has.
Number seven.
The third downs on both sides of the ball are so frustrating. Offensively, man, like, that's really tough. And for instance, that fourth down sequence, they actually were in a second and one there, then got stuffed. It's third and two, they get stuffed again, and then they blow up on fourth down. Three downs to get 2 yards? What are we doing? And there's a couple of those, but there's also some obviously longer situations. But I think the more frustrating side is defensively, where they had a couple of third and eight, third and nines, third and six plus for sure, and the Eagles are able to get them either by second play extension by Hurts with his arm. He had a couple where he scrambled. Just, it's a really hard situation. And I think they're trying to still find the balance of, do we pressure? Are we better off playing coverage? They've had some level of success doing both. And I don't know what it is week in, week out. But that's where the fact that the Eagles are better and they just have dudes who make plays can extend, find out, figure it out. Saquon slips a tackle, goes big gain on the Percy Butler miss on that key third down. Like, it is those kinds of plays that good teams make. And the Commanders have been a good team for a lot of times this year, but the Eagles are a better team, and they're the ones that made it last night.
Number eight.
Another thing that I think when you talk about some of these conversions is the short fields, the missed kicks and everything last night. The Commanders at times took advantage of those short fields, such as their first touchdown drive. But a lot of times, they didn't just not take advantage in terms of getting points. They'd go three and out. And now you've cost yourself valuable field position. And so one of the big issues for me offensively the last couple of weeks is that the Commanders have not only not been scoring at the same rate, but they've had way too many three and outs. They have got to find a way to get that first down, extend the drive a little bit, help out their defense, stay on the field a little longer. That also allows them to get to their tempo. They don't typically go as fast until they get that first down because they don't want to go three and out quickly, which is smart. And so that, you know, efficiency needs to happen if they want to have any chance to win any major football game that they're going to be in the rest of the year.
Number nine.
All right, plenty of your calls next at 301-230-0980. But first, these two things. One, the officiating was bad again last night. And I feel better saying this today because no one is looking at that game being like, oh my God, the officials cost the Commanders the game, like a lot of people felt in the Pittsburgh game. Because you can go in the Pittsburgh game and find a bunch of calls that went bad both ways. Just so happens that the last one was the fourth down call that was controversial at best. And maybe it was correct, maybe it wasn't. But last night, the illegal contact on Sainer Still earlier in the game, hideous. Just as bad later in the game. There's a couple of calls on the Eagles that are just unbelievably bad. And the broadcast caught those. I don't know what they were like, why they weren't aghast at the first one. But this stuff can't happen in the NFL. And the Eagles could have won by more last night had they gotten a couple of those calls. So it's easier to point it out and have people take you seriously in the loss. But NFL, like, please do better, because some of these really, really bad missed calls are just, they're fake calls. And that's not good enough.
Number 10.
And then last but not least, Amazon Prime Vision. I don't know if y'all checked out the alternate broadcast. That is sick. That is the coolest camera angle, the drawing on the field, being able to identify personnel. It's kind of like an all-22 camera, but from the end zone. So it's a little more zoomed out, and you can really see plays develop. I would actually love to watch that angle more than I would the all-22 tape. It'd take a second to adjust, but you can see that much on that angle. Very, very cool. If they had won this game and it was more fun to watch, I'd say go back and watch it on that if you have NFL Game Pass. But definitely check it out next Thursday Night Football that you want to watch. It is worth, you know, spending a little bit of time with that camera angle. It's a really cool way to see the game. And so shout out to Amazon for doing something different and cool. All right, that's it for our first and 10. When we get back, We will take your calls, 301-230-0980. It's a Tell the Truth Monday, kind of, on a Friday, and it's next on The Hoffman Show. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, and we are streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. We're taking your calls at 301-230-0980. That is the Team 980 listener line. Calls of all kinds. Anything you got from yesterday's game. Commanders, of course, going down to the Eagles on Thursday Night Football. It's their first losing streak of any kind under Dan Quinn. They fall to 7-4 and 2-1 in the division. Let's go to Derek to get us started in Upper Marlboro. Derek, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hi, did you say Derek or Gary?
I think you're the correct caller. I think it was written down Derek, but you sound like Gary.
Okay.
Upper Marlboro. We know your style.
Yep. Okay. How you doing, Greg? Look, I don't think it's anything to panic about. Philadelphia is a very good team. They came in playing very well. The last night's game is how they act. I mean, they come in first couple quarters, they're kind of looking ordinary, and then in the second half, they just wear you down. Okay, that's what they did to the Cowboys. The Cowboys were in the game for the first, couple quarters. Zeke fumbled through, in the end zone. They would have taken the lead right there. I think the score was like 14-3 at halftime. And then they just wore them out in the second half. That's sort of what happened with Washington. And I think that, the two-game losing streak, it is what it is. I mean, a lot of teams have two-game losing and then winning five games this year. So they're at 7 right now, and they look the part like they're a decent team. I don't think there's anything to panic about, but I will tell you, I had a rib injury one time, and I'll never forget. They said you have mild bruising to your ribs, okay? And it felt like somebody had stabbed me when it first happened. But it took me about 2 months for me to feel right. I mean, everything you do, you cough, you sneeze, you lay on the bed in a certain way. So I think those ribs are bothering him, and you can see some with his footwork that something's not right.
Part, Gary, and thanks as always for the call, because I don't disagree that he doesn't look the same. I think it's really hard to suss out, and by the way, I know how painful rib injuries are. I've had varying, things over the years in that area, and his, I think, is like a cartilage thing. I don't know that it was like a contact bruise type of thing. But he's also played really good defenses. And, you get sped up because you play really good defenses. Like, that's the NFL. And so it has coincided with the rib injury, for sure. But I also think that against the Giants, he looked fairly comfortable. Maybe a few throws here or there. But, again, we're also then comparing it to this early season run that he had that was wholly unsustainable. If we thought that he was going to simply throw 70% to 80% to the Bengals game 90% forever, then joke's on you. Like, that's not a Jaden Daniels is all of a sudden not playing good quarterback. It's your inability or our collective inability, if you want to lump us all together here, to be the people going, hey, what's wrong with Jaden Daniels? If Jaden Daniels is a 60% passer the rest of his career, he'll be fine. Just fine. Like him to get the ball down the field a little bit more. There's definitely some stuff going on. But the good defenses and just a regression to the mean of, hey, he's still really good, but he's not all-time best, most accurate passer, not just for a rookie, but his first four games were the most accurate four games to start a career ever, to start a season that a quarterback has ever had. That was wholly unsustainable. So I do think we have to adjust our expectation to say, yeah, he's going to miss a few more throws per game than he did earlier in the season because the law of averages says he will. But I do think it's fair to ask, and the reporters on the ground have asked this, hey, is that rib okay? Dan has said at this point there's not really a huge problem, but they're also still wrapping it on the sidelines. So there's definitely something to that rib. Let's go to, actually, Anthony, let's real quick knock out a break, come back, and we'll try to get in as many calls as we can next. I'm taking your calls here on a Misery Friday, if you will, on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. You'll hear from Logan coming up at 5 o'clock as we will play a little of our Take Command Not So Instant Reaction Show. Logan and I chatted about the game this morning, and we talked about the fourth down decision. We chatted about what's going on with the offense, a little bit about the defense as well. You'll hear it all coming up in just a few minutes. But let's go to actually Marcus and Brandywine. Marcus called us yesterday, had an idea of a bit of a different strategy. Marcus, how do you feel? So Marcus's strategy was basically be super aggressive. If the Eagles score, they score, but get it over with quickly and then try to attack going back the other way. Marcus, after watching the game, how do you feel about whether your strategy would have worked or not?
I feel like I got slapped in the face, man. We talked about not having those long drives. And I mean right off the bat, first drive, 11 plays. And it's like, it's crazy to me. I mean, and then you know, they have that 11-play drive to open up. They have another 11-play drive on that touchdown, the first Saquon touchdown. Then they had a 10-play drive. Then they had a 15-play drive. And it's like, granted, in the first three quarters, we stopped. They didn't score.
Marcus, I must say, feels like an important data point.
It's a very important data point. However, even the defense is still tired and they fell apart. And, everybody's so used to Jaden and this offense being – I guess high-powered in a sense. And, you know, he has this game where they're not moving. They're not moving the ball, and we don't capitalize on our drives. And it shows at the end of the game when Saquon gets two touchdowns. And in all reality, shouldn't really hurt us that much if we capitalize on, you know, those stops in the first three quarters, man. It was frustrating. It was very frustrating to watch.
No, it definitely was. But the thing is, I look at that and say the strategy they employed, opposite of the one you suggested, no offense to you, because I did think it was a very interesting idea. I think that the strategy worked on defense. The problem was the offense needed to hold up their end of the bargain. It's not really complimentary football. Hey, we're going to bend but don't break and trust that our offense can do its thing on their side if the offensive part doesn't work. Like, defensively, I think they actually played the game they wanted to play in so many ways. They didn't allow any big plays in the passing game in terms of, like, big down-the-field shots. They kept everything relatively in front until Percy Butler misses a tackle on Saquon Barkley, and then Jalen Hurts extends one big play and finds Dallas Goedert against a coverage. And even on that play, obviously, Quan knocks it out, and if Frankie Louvu can hop on the football before Calcaterra does, that's a huge play in that game. But the idea of the long drive is eventually they'll make a mistake. And Philly did. Like, I think the plan was correct because whether it was penalties, whether it was incompletions, Jalen was awful with his arm last night. I think that it really was about the offensive failings last night more than any kind of larger offense-defense strategy or anything in particular that the defense did.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I was very, very pleased with the defense. And I can't really blame them. They were tired. You know, I can't blame them for those two touchdowns in the fourth. They were gassed. And like I said, those two touchdowns shouldn't have mattered as much as they did had the offense capitalized. I mean, and that's why you said it's a complimentary game. And I mean, we can, you know, Jaden didn't have his best game. However, some type of game would have made, you know, would have had, I feel like we would have a different conversation. Right now, it's just disappointing, kind of frustrating. Had it been like a three, you know, a field goal game, and they, you know, Eagles march down and get a field goal, would I be upset? 100%. But would I be as frustrated as I am? Probably not.
Yeah, and Marcus, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Good to chat with you as always. I would also say, just real quick before we get to the next call, like, Saquon's touchdowns probably don't happen if the offense is playing the way that you are hoping it's playing if you're going to play this complimentary game, because Philly's going to have to throw the ball late. They're not just going to be handing the ball off down after down after down after down. That is how they want to play. And Washington, because they couldn't figure out anything against the Eagles' defense, really left their defense out to dry. Let's go to Terrell in Baltimore. Terrell, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, what's up, Craig? Listen, I think we saw what looked like a reversal of uniforms. How we used to beat up teams earlier this year, it looked like we swapped uniforms with a lower-level team. We played a better defense, a disciplined defense, where the defensive ends contained the quarterback, and the pressure up the middle from the tackles, he couldn't step up into the pocket. He couldn't escape outside. The secondary blanketed our sub-tier wide receivers who, arguably, if you put Terry on Philly's wide receiver roster, he's probably their slot receiver. So it was a very disciplined defense. And then that goes into we couldn't sustain drives. So the 22 rushes, that's a low for us. We normally rush more than that in the game, but we couldn't because we couldn't sustain long drives. And so then the quarterback couldn't run. So now our running game is taken away. Our quarterback is taken away. And honestly, if they scored those field goals, this game is way worse than what it looked like. So it just humbled us and let us know that we are up and coming, but we're not there yet. That's what I saw out of that game. I'm interested to see what you think about it.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good call. And I guess to, not to counter, but just to kind of flush out that idea, it's where the talent disparity lies. Because I do think Washington played fast and physical last night. I do think that, like, Luvu's physicality showed up and Chin's physicality showed up. And even on the offense, like, Robinson's physicality showed up. The problem is the other dudes are just better football players. And I also really like your point specifically about the interior rush. This was one of the problems against Pittsburgh. And it presented itself in a different way against Philly, because Jalen Carter is a very different player than like Casey Hayward, but their ability to get interior push, and I think Biotish is banged up, and I think that's a part of this. Cosby's a little banged up, and we know Allegretti's been a little banged up as well, where those guys were so solid earlier in the season. Like that interior push where Jaden can't step up, and those rush lanes are not there in the way that they were, and then the discipline on the outside. If other teams can do that, then, yeah, this offense is going to have to find other ways to do some things and evolve, and they're going to have to win more cleanly on the outside and all that kind of stuff. I don't know that there's a lot of teams that can do it to the level that the two teams that they played the last 2 weeks have. That's the good news. The bad news is there are teams that you're going to face in the playoffs if this team gets there that will do that. And hopefully by then, Jaden will have and Cliff and everybody else will have adapted and learned and found some other solutions. I think that was a really good point.
Hey, let me say this too. I don't blame Cliff. A lot of people talk about his woes and stuff. I think we had a great package with two tight ends and the two weapons that we do have in B-Rob and Eckler having that two running back package that can run the ball from backfield and then escape out and catch the ball. That was all we could do yesterday, and that's what you saw. That was the highlight of the offense. So it's like, if you take away our wide receivers, we still have that threat. But is that enough against a top-tier defense to win a game? And clearly it wasn't. But it just shows me that we are up and coming and we're going. A couple more pieces and some health on that offensive line, and I think we'll be okay. I don't think it's Cliff. I don't think it was necessarily Jaden's injury, although he wasn't 100%. I think it was just how disciplined and how schemed up Philly's defense was. And that was just, it was a great game to watch, if you respect defensive scheme. 100%.
Terrell, thanks for the call as always. Always a good one. Appreciate you. And I'll wrap up the hour quickly by saying this. This is a team that needs a break. Like, I came out of that game just going, man, this is a football team that feels exhausted. They feel tired. And if they're 100%, is that game different last night? I don't know. I think the Eagles probably still win it. But give them a couple more weeks of experience. It won't give them not a short week. And give them a little bit of rest. And I do think then that when Philly comes here, like, that's going to be a different ball game. And so that'll be fun later on in the season. They've got a couple of softer games on paper, but it's still the NFL. And one of them is a division game in Dallas. Jaden's first Dallas week coming up in 10 days. So plenty to talk about between now and then. Logan and I talked about this game this morning. We're going to let you hear it. Take command style next. Logan Paulson on last night's game here on The Hoffman Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.